Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
If you would, take your New Testament and go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And this will be maybe a note-jotting sermon, lessonette maybe, if you will, more than some others. I've just been thinking, coming off our gospel meeting, I'm on fire. It always lifts me up, and I hope it has as you as well. And I was thinking, we're sometimes asking the question, how do I evangelize? We know we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We got that part down. We know what we need to do. But the question then becomes, how do you do it? And I wouldn't say there's necessarily a right way or a wrong way, as long as you're using God's Word as your basis. But sometimes if you go into it with an idea, with a plan, with a path, a map, if you will, to me it's easier. And I want to share with you one of my favorites that is not original to me, but I have adapted it and use it as my own. And it stays in the New Testament. It stays in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Key it in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 with me. And ideally, you would encounter this verse. Maybe you're just reading through the book of Matthew with somebody you're wanting to have a Bible study with. But I want you to notice verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Jesus is speaking, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I call this cafeteria-style religion. That doesn't exist. You don't get your tray and say, well, God, I want to do this to please you, but I don't want to do that. You can't try to say I'm doing good works in his name, but not actually do what he says. So Jesus makes a statement there at the end of verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but watch this. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Underscore that phrase. He that does the will of my Father. Therefore, if I want to go to heaven, I've got to do the will of the Father, right? That's what Jesus says. It's in my Bible. It's in red. He that does the will of my Father. So then that begs the question, well, what is the will of the Father? Right? That's a logical question. If I have to do the will of the Father to get into heaven, what is that? Flip over 10 chapters. Matthew chapter 17. This is not what Justin thinks we should do. Not what some study guide says to do. This is what God's Word says. Matthew 17. This is the Mount of Transfiguration, a wonderful story where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, maybe his best friends. I've seen it put that way in writing. The inner three, I've heard it described that way as well, takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain there apart. And as he is with them, all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appear. And Peter, always the first one to speak, says, Lord, it's good that we're here. We should build a tabernacle, a worship place, if you will, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, which pausing here tells me there is some kind of a recognition of loved ones past the grave, because I know Peter never met Moses, but he says there's Moses. Of course, Moses represents the Old Testament law. Elijah represents the prophets. But I want you to notice here in verse number 5, as Peter is saying, Lord, we need to make these places for you, Moses and Elijah. While Peter yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, capital S, notice that. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. So amid what could be a confusing scenario, God encircles them and says, This is my beloved Son, and hear him. And then notice right after that, Moses and Elijah disappear, and only left there is Jesus Christ. So why do we go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 5? What is the will of the Father? Well, he says, This is my beloved Son. Now, he's already said that in Matthew 3 at the baptism of Christ. But here he adds three little words, Hear ye him. See what I did? I connected the dots. Jesus said, To go to heaven, you do the will of the Father. What is that? Listen to the Son.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And then from here, I use this, and I try to always, when I'm studying, want them to read out of their Bible. More likely than not, they're going to have a red letter edition of the Bible. So I will say the following verses that we're going to look at are only going to be in red, right? Because those are the words of Jesus. Now, if they don't have a red letter, that doesn't make them any of less importance. It wasn't until 1899 that Bibles even had red letters. And it was only done to sell Bibles. And it worked. And now that's become the standard. So to go to heaven, I have to do the will of the Father. And the Father said to listen to Jesus. So that begs the question then, what did Jesus say to do? Go with me to the book of John, if you will. And you can probably start to fill in the steps of where we're going to go after here. John chapter 8 and verse 24. And notice, all these passages from here on out are going to be red letter. These are going to be the words of my best friend, Jesus Christ. John 8, 24, Jesus said, I said, therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. If is conditional. If you don't believe that I am the Christ, you will die in your sins. Well, what did Jesus say to do? Number one, you've got to believe. And He equates life in believing, but believing's not it. Flip back to Mark chapter 16. And verse number 16, another familiar passage, no doubt. But I want you to notice, and dear friends, in the world of evangelism and conversion, the goal should never be to entrap the person you're studying with. But oftentimes they'll trap themselves, and they'll trap themselves on verse 16. Notice what Jesus says, He that believeth. What we just looked at belief in John 8, 24. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be damned or condemned. So Jesus says you've got to believe, right? Believe and be baptized. Hold on to that thought, because and is a conjunction. Joins two thoughts, puts them on equal footing. Number one, Jesus says, I have to believe. Number two, go to the book of Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. Once again, these are going to be red letters. What did Jesus Christ say to do? Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. He says, I tell you nay, except, that's a key word, must do this or something else will happen. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He's just talked about destruction, and the apostles are asking him questions. He said, don't worry about them. If you don't straighten up and fly right, you'll perish just like they did. That's verse 3, drop down to verse 5. He says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In school, when the teacher says something twice, it's important. The master teacher has said the same thing twice in three verses. Jesus says it is imperative, after I believe, I must repent. But notice, these are not my words. They're in red. Those are the words of Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 10. What else did He say? After I believe and after I repent, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. And He gives this in the context of the limited commission, but it's applicable even till today with the Great Commission. Notice, Jesus says, whosoever therefore, and whosoever can mean me and you, whosoever therefore shall confess me, Jesus Christ, before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But conversely, change, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. See, Jesus says that I've got to hear, I've got to believe, and I've got to be willing to confess. Now, what is that confession? Well, I know what it is because I read about it in the book of Acts. Those aren't red letters, of course, with what the eunuch says in Acts 8, but he confesses Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he says. You must confess, I am the Christ. So Jesus says, I've got to believe, I've got to repent, I've got to confess. Now, as you're evangelizing, as you're having this study, it's imperative to have whoever you're studying with agree that that's what the verse says. Don't just say, well, here's what Justin says, or here's what Bobby... No. Do you agree that the Bible says, Jesus says, unless you believe, you'll die? And they say, yes. Mark 16, 16, you must believe. Yes, they'll agree and repent and confess. Go back to Mark 16, 16. Once you have them agreeing with the belief part, they've got to agree with the whole verse, or they don't agree with all of it. Jesus says, notice this, he that believeth, we've already checked that off our list, and is baptized. And, well, we talked about that conjunction. Joins them right there. Belief and baptism. And I say I want them to agree only because I had a scenario, I was working at DHOFS, where I had a guy agree on everything until he said, well, that's not what that verse says. I said, well, 5 minutes ago you told me that's what that verse says. So are you a liar or is Jesus a liar? He didn't like that question, of course, and left. But that's the essence of it, right? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. But that's not it. That's not the end of the story. You've got to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. But then you've got to remain faithful. Go back to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Once again, in the limited commission that applies to the great commission. And I take heart in this, dear friends, and you should as well, because Jesus says, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Even though it's hard for us to fathom, there are people who don't like the fact that we're Christians. They don't like us. They've never met us. But they don't like us because we're Christians. But notice, he that endures to the end, literally in Greek, until the very end, last breath, shall be saved. So then he says, I've got to remain faithful, right? I've got to believe, repent, confess, be baptized, remain faithful. You can even take them to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10, because those are red letters as well in my Bible. Be faithful unto death, I'll give you the crown of life. I'm afraid too many times we don't want to have a Bible study with someone because we don't know where to go or we don't know how to do it. There's 7 or 8 verses and you just walk through it. What did Jesus say? Listen to the Father. What did the Father say? Listen to the Son. Now you're back to Jesus, and then you just lay out the steps of salvation. If they're an honest person, if they're really concerned about their eternal soul salvation, they'll give heed to these verses. And if they don't, then they won't. But Jesus says that they're not going to like you. Some people aren't going to like you, but it's still your job to preach the gospel. I encourage you to use this or another path this way and try to have a study with someone. Encourage someone to be faithful. Encourage someone to be a Christian. If you know a Christian who has fallen away, don't we all? Encourage them to be more faithful. That's what Paul says in Galatians 6. Also in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. We've got to go out and preach the gospel. Dear friends, we have the seed. And as we've seen this week, it still works. But we've got to take it to them. And that's just one of the ways that we can do it. And I just wanted to share that with you. And hopefully it will help you as well. But I do want to offer the Lord's invitation, since we've just talked about it. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Because if you're not a Christian, you're missing out on the greatest advantages this life has to offer. The greatest blessings are only found in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. And you could be a Christian this very night.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. Let's think about three texts for a moment. Romans 3:24, Paul wrote, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Aha! Redeemed. Justified. Now, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. This redemption, which results in one's justification, comes when we respond to His saving blood and we are in Him. Paul tells us how that is accomplished. Galatians 3:26 and 27, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." What a wonderful thought. Visit us at our website at internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 Seconds for the Savior, and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. We try to keep things which are valuable to us, things which are sentimental or monetary worth. We safeguard them in various ways to prevent their being lost or stolen. Solomon tells us that staying away from evil and on the right way will help us keep our soul. Proverbs 16:17 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way will preserve his soul." Keeping ourselves from sin is one of the proofs that we have been born again. For John wrote in 1 John 5:18, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin or continues to sin, But he who has been born of God keeps or guards himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Thanks to my friend and brother Danny Rogers for these thoughts. And dear friends, visit us at our website at internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day.